Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's your turn, whippersnappers. This is Wretched Radio. Two, count them, two commandments in the Bible for parents. How we are supposed to train up our children in the way that they should go. We teach them about Jesus and we don't make them nuts. There you have it. Two commandments. You apply those and you will do well as a parent. We have spent a ton of time, I mean a totally imbalanced scale, focusing on how parents should be doing that, teaching their kids about Jesus, training them up to apply the word to everything, teaching them that Christianity is not an app, it is an operating system. But now, we'd like to turn our attention to the command that is given to the child, perhaps specifically the teenager into adult child. To honor your father and mother, it's a command with a promise. You do that, things are going to go well. Overall, as a principle, you honor your parents, life's going to be overall fine. You don't, it won't. We struggle with this notion, perhaps in the West, more than any other society on this planet, that a child is to honor father and mother into adulthood. How does a child do that? How do you go from simply being obedient? That's the early stage of childhood. The kids are just obedient. This still staggers me. Decades later, when we started having children, they just followed us everywhere. And they just did everything we did. They were like dogs. You know, dogs don't ask questions. They just, okay, here we go. Into the car. All right, we're going to go outside. Fine, we're going to go inside. Okay, where are we going? I don't care. I don't know. I'm with my pack. And that's how kids are. They don't quite talk that goofy, but they just do it. And then as they become older, they're toddling around and they get bigger and they're even starting to play games and sports and they're off to school. They do what they're told. But then they become teenagers and let the stand-up comedy routines begin. They start to get testing. They start becoming increasingly naughty. They dishonor you. They sass mouth you. They don't do what they're told. They start sneaking around. What is going on? And I would like to suggest to you, we have forgotten what it means for a child to honor father and mother. When they are teenagers, a time now that in our society, it is expected that these kids are going to be that way. It's not like, will you get those kids? No. Just wait till they get to puberty. Oh, they're adorable now. Oh, you just wait. Hold on. That is not the way that God has set this up. Furthermore, when a child gets older and they even leave the house, how are they to honor father and mother? How are they to talk to them? How are they to engage them? How are they to receive any sort of wisdom that they passed down? This will sound absolutely bonkers to you, but I do believe that it captures what is going on in our society today, even inside of Christian homes. I know a couple, lovely Christian couple. Their child had a baby. Married child had a baby. Grandparents visiting the child. Child's nook falls. Parent picks up the nook. Child says, "Don't judge us." What? What? Wait, what? The nook fell to the ground. It needed to be picked up. The child saw that as parents apparently inserting their opinion where it was not invited. And it was seen as judgment. And I do not think that is a one-off. I think that is the attitude that has been cultivated, social media, etc., in our society, and it's infected Christian kids. And this is why this has stuck with me and, frankly, in my craw For years, Dennis Prager, the Jewish conservative talk show host, when he would travel around the country, that people would queue up to say, my kids won't talk to me anymore. My kids won't listen to me. The kids were separated. The kids were fighting. The kids, they're just... And he noticed that it is a trend. And I agree with that trend. And I think it is simply because we have not taught our kids what it means to honor father and mother. And we as a church forget culture. They're kicking against the goads on this one. They teach the kids question authority. You need to have your own mind. And then you've got people like Planned Parenthood and Teen Vogue that are teaching them how to do it. You've got the government schools going, oh, no. We know what's best for the kids. We're going to teach them sex ed, not you. And you're not going to stop them, and you can't opt them out. What is the message to the kid? I'm my own autonomous being, and I do not have to submit to my parents. I do not need to honor them. And what do we do in the church to counter that? Virtually nothing. Virtually nothing. Now, do I realize that this commandment from God could get sorely abused? That children will be seen and not heard until I'm dead. Sure, it could. I don't think we're anywhere near that. So let me tug from the far side to maybe pull us over to some semblance of balance here and to encourage one another, to help one another in this endeavor, because I don't think a parent can do it alone. It doesn't take a village. It takes a church to raise a child, in that the child will hear other voices besides parents singing from the same song sheet, singing the same tune. Honor your father and mother. You should obey them. You should honor them. Now, we'll tackle how to do that into adulthood, because that's the tricky season, isn't it? But this has got to start before puberty kicks in. It's got to start. We really need to start teaching our kids in our churches, from the pulpit, in Sunday school, in youth group, honor them. No lip, that's dishonoring. No eye rolling, that's dishonoring. And it goes beyond just simply modifying behavior. You need to see them as a gift from God. They are just plain smarter than you. Gulp it down. Take your medicine. It will do you good. Admit, mom and dad have been around the block at least once, and I haven't even left the house yet. They have experienced these things. They are wiser than you. They have your safety in view. You need to know something about yourself. You can be impetuous. You can be reckless, and they're going to keep you from danger. Honor them. Honor them. Thank them when they say, no, you're not going to go to that party. Thank you, mom and dad. Thank you. That's so much different than, duh, man. Now, even if in their hearts they're grateful for it, that's not honoring. A child should see the parent as a marble statue. Just you're carved into the Mount Rushmore of positive influences in your life. Honoring them beyond, don't just sass, not sass mouth. Don't just not... Don't just not do a half job. Wow, my parents are such a blessing. Now, that brings us back to the two commandments for parents. And that is why, as I think through this parenting thing more and more, God is absolutely brilliant. You try to tell me what two rules can better help you keep your house organized than teach your kids about Jesus and don't make them bonkers. It covers so much. You're supposed to be teaching them what Jesus is like. You are supposed to be modeling Jesus and not making them nuts. That just covers everything. So you don't, yeah, that's right. You better believe it. I'm on the Mount Rushmore of parents, Pally boy. Yeah, you know what? Let me tell you, when I was 14, let me tell you, I had a paper route, 200 homes. You know how much I was making? And this is back in the 70s, Pally boy. You're making them nuts. Don't do that. Be worthy of honor. That's the ping pong match here. They honor, you behave worthy of honor, and your home will be sweet. And if we do not start cultivating this idea into our kids immediately, I think your home is going to be the typical sitcom, with the teenager who sulks through. It's the caricature kid. They're not doing their homework. They're being lazy. Their room's a mess. They got smelly gym shoes. Got a sullen attitude. Ha ha ha. Insert soundtrack. Laugh track, please. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We as a church must start getting this message out. Why? Because I see so many hurting families, so many struggling families, and we are not experiencing the joy that a sweet household should be, the cultivation of a sweet home. I think J.R. Miller wrote about this. Just I walk in and there does not need to be banana bread in the oven for me to go, oh, it's good to be, it's good to be here. Mom and Dad, we need to start teaching our kids to honor parents before they start behaving in ways that are dishonoring. And church, we need to help one another. We need to get this message out. And we need to start taking sermon messages and applying them to kids honoring parents. And then, for those kids and for all of us who are no longer under the authority of parents, how do we honor our parents? What does that look like? I would like to make the case radical, absolutely radical, that will be absolutely blissful next on Wretched Radio. Yep, I get it. The thought of not having traditional health insurance, it just feels kind of scary. I would like to encourage you to discover what Mrs. Friel and I have learned about MediShare. It is affordable, biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christians strong. This is no fly-by-night organization, a ministry that has existed for 27 years, and they have covered together over $4 billion in medical expenses. Please be encouraged to at least check out MediShare.com/wretched. The average family will save approximately $500 per month, and you can sleep at night knowing that MediShare is sound, affordable, biblical health sharing. MediShare.com/wretched.
Hey, hey, thank you for joining us here on Wretched Radio today, and we want you to take some time to visit the Wretched website, wretched.org. The Wretched website contains amazing content, full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. And the Wretched Library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. And you can also visit our donate page where you can prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Because without the support of our listeners just like you, there would be no Wretched. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do this without you. You can find all of these resources available to you right now at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled, and they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature. And his wrath has been settled on the cross.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. This is Wretched Radio. If you were writing a parenting manual, I doubt that you would come up with three commandments that will make a home sweet always. You couldn't do it, but God did. Mom and Dad, teach your kids about Jesus. Don't make them bonkers. Kids, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. That's it. Those are the three laws that will not just keep a household in order, it will cultivate sweetness forever. The home has a realm of authority, mother and father. And kids are, yes, to obey, but there are more. We are to honor authority, honor it. That's not just, fine, I'll do it. I love it. I'm so glad that I've got this authority in my life. I honor those people. They are great people. They are a blessing from God. That is the command to a child. And if we in any way get away from that, it's gonna go sideways on you. And your Western civilization tells you to do this a different way. That you get out of the house as fast as you can. You get away from those people. And you start living as if they have no authority over you as fast as you possibly can. So you can live autonomously. And we sometimes perhaps look at other cultures and we go, head scratch, what's going on there? For instance, the Asian community. I can't tell you how many times people have gone, do you know that Asian family in our neighborhood? The grandparents live there. You don't say. What's going on? The grandparents are honored. And the grandparents are taken care of. I'm not even saying this is motivated by Christian thinking, by a biblical worldview. That's just the way that they do it in their culture. And what happens there? Grandparents are taken care of. Mom and dad are honored. And the kids honor both of those authorities. And we look at it and go, well, that's just not the way we do it here. You know, it's just, you know, and those Asian parents, they're all over their kids. Uh-huh. Right? Now, I'm not saying that that can't be overbearing also, hence the commandment to not make your kids bonkers. God balances this out beautifully. But he tells us in the home, this is how it's going to run. When it gets particularly tricky is when the kids now leave the home or they run off to university. The dynamic shifts, and it should, because we are not raising children. We're raising adults from the second they're born. We're training them up to be adults. And so we want them to increasingly make decisions, good ones and bad ones. But they must honor parents even as they do. And if we don't, radically shift the way that we are viewing this, Western civilization is going to continue to have its way in the hearts of our children. And we are going to see more divisions between parent and child. We already are. And that relationship should be sweet. It should be wonderful. I'm telling you, I know it. I see it. Yeah, we got an issue with our kids. They're fill in the blank. They're buying a car. They're thinking about moving. They're thinking about taking a job. They're going to make a purchase decision. And wow, they're thinking is really terrible. And I did that same thing when I was 17, and I can't tell them. I can't say anything. If I do, it'll just, Thanksgiving will be ruined. I can't do that. Or you'll hear when you're out having perhaps a salad with a lady friend. Oh, we just, okay, so this is what we're doing with our adult kids. We tried to drop the hint that maybe, you know, having some sort of financial plan would be a good idea, but they got really, really upset. So we decided to wait like 6 weeks before we said anything else about it. What is wrong with this picture? I'll tell you what it is. They're not honoring mom and dad. This smashes the Western system. It also, by the way, smashes from a different angle, the Eastern system, where mom and dad can play an overbearing role. No. The Christian role, the Christian relationship has balance to it, but I think increasingly in Christian homes and Western civilizations, children are not honoring parents. They're not honoring them. You should be able to say to your 30-year-old child, son, I've noticed you're buying a lot of stuff. Explain to me how that's working out. Doc, back off! Back off! We're not coming! That's it. We're... I'm not going to come here and take this. What in the world is that? I'll tell you what it is. The kid doesn't honor mom and dad. Now, does that mean that the adult child needs to do what mom and dad say? No, it doesn't. But they need to honor it, and they need to see it as a gift. This isn't neutrality commandment. This is honor, esteem, look up to, give deference to, think that they know better because they do. Yes, I know there's exceptions. We're talking about the rule here. Tim Challies, he talks about six practical ways to honor your parents. Honoring parents is a form of honoring all authority, including God himself. So if you've got an adult kid who does not honor you, they're probably not honoring the Lord. This is really basic. They can see you. And if they can't get down with honoring you, they're not honoring the Lord, most likely. There will be temptations to say, yeah, but you don't know my parents. You don't know who they are, what they did to me. Fair enough. Let's leave that aside for a moment. We're talking about God's command. How do you honor your parents as an adult child? One, forgive them. Yep, they made unwise decisions, unrealistic expectations. They helicoptered you, said things, did things, wounded you. Forgive them. And I mean it. Forgive them. It's done. Number two, speak well of them. Let me tell you about Rita and Harry. You know, he's wearing this. He takes off his socks to put on his Birkenstocks, and you can see the sock line around his ankle. That's Harry, telling you, drooling in his rocking chair. That's what Harry. You're an adult. You still honor your mom and dad by speaking well of them, not speaking evil of them. In the Old Testament, the penalty for cursing parents was the same as assaulting them. Exodus 21, 15 through 17, because the root is the same. Speak well while they're alive. Speak well of them when they're dead. Speak well of them to your siblings, to your spouses, to your children. Speak well of them to your churches and communities, modeling a countercultural kind of honor and respect that has been missing for far too long. How do you talk about your mom and dad? How do you talk about them? Are they the brunt of jokes, even in front of them? You know, mom, always burning. Did you burn it again this year? Is the turkey going to be dry again this year, ma? You are not honoring your parents. Honor them. See them as a gift from God. Number three, esteem them publicly and privately. From Challies, Tim Challies. You don't realize how important it is to give them credit where you can. You don't realize how critical it is to just say, you know, everything I really learned about saving money, I learned it from you. Would that kill you? You know, Dad, that was one thing that you taught me. I am so grateful for that. Simple things that can bring joy and honor to your parents. We can give them such esteem privately, one-on-one conversation, or you can do it publicly through speeches or sermons, conversations around holiday feasts. Dennis Rainey goes so far as to call children to write a formal tribute to their parents, to present it to them, and to read it aloud in their parents. Oh, come on! That is Western civilization corrupting our kids and our adult brains. This should be like, I can't believe I didn't think of this. There is so much that I could say about my parents that is so wonderful. And if this, by the way, if this attitude isn't cultivated from right outside of the womb, it's going to be very unnatural. Western civilization, mock your parents. Bible, honor them. Why don't you write a speech about your parents? When's their anniversary? Why don't you write a speech and deliver it? You'd be honoring them. Seek their wisdom. Seek it. When faced with major decisions, they know stuff. You're going to be buying a house. They've already bought a house. Ask them. Do you have to do everything? Do you have to pick the White House versus the Blue House? Nope. But you sure should listen to them, and you would do well to seek them out. They will give you better advice than people that you just work with. You'll ask people at work, hey, let me show you on the website. This house or this house. What do you think, man? Okay. And they're just going to go, yeah, I dig that one. Yeah, no, that one's cool. Your mom and dad? No, they love you to the core, and they are going to give you the most thoughtful advice possible. Support them. Not just financially, but in old age. Support them. That is a way to honor them. Six, provide for them when they are old. So this is different. You can help them just through life, providing for them, helping them along the way as they get older. They maybe don't have the budget that they once did. And then when they can't take care of themselves, you can take care of them. He's talking about two things here. Go over and fix the drains. They need drains put on. Buy them. And then when they can't live in the house, take care of them is the encouragement, one way or another. Question. Have you been honoring your parents? If not, you've been sinning. But you can repent of that now and change that today. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, Joe Biden is expected to make abortion a priority on his first day in office. Of course he is. Backed by the pro-abortion lobby, Biden supports killing unborn babies and abortions without restrictions and wants to force taxpayers to fund their deaths. Among his first actions on his first day in office, Biden will overturn the Mexico City policy and President Donald Trump's Protect Life rule, both of which defunded the abortion chain Planned Parenthood of millions of dollars. The Mexico City policy, established by President Ronald Reagan, traditionally gets repealed by Democratic presidents and reinstated by Republican presidents. It prohibits taxpayer funding to international aid groups that promote and/or do abortions, including Planned Parenthood's international arm. Trump expanded the policy to cut off more streams of revenue to international pro-abortion groups. The rule defunded the International Planned Parenthood Federation of about $100 million and a British abortion chain of about $73 million in U.S. tax dollars. The two pro-abortion groups received millions of American tax dollars under President Barack Obama, and they're expected to receive millions more under Biden's leadership. Pro-abortion leaders expressed confidence that Biden will support their goals in murdering babies. Nationally, Planned Parenthood, a billion-dollar nonprofit that performs more than 340 murders per year, also could see more federal tax dollars come as it's way under the Biden administration. Its executives expect that the incoming president will also repeal Trump's Protect Life rule, which defunded Planned Parenthood of an additional $50 million through the Title X program. Abortion activists are pressuring Biden to end the Hyde Amendment as well, the long-standing amendment that prohibits taxpayer funding for elective abortions in Medicaid. Biden could not end the measure by executive order, however. Congress also would need to vote on it. Well, a committee from among South Carolina lawmakers are pushing for the passage of a fetal heartbeat bill. Once signed into law, doctors performing abortions will face charges if a fetal heartbeat is detected 6 to 7 weeks after conception, thereby banning abortion in its early stage. Enforcement of anti-abortion law, however, has had its challenges. While the measure has made its way up to the Senate, its proponents could not get two-thirds of the legislative body to vote for the abortion ban. Other reasons include lengthy and costly court procedures. Last year, Republicans increased their number to 30 of the 46 Senate seats, and the untimely death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not a total loss, as she's replaced by Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who is also reputed as anti-abortion. South Carolina is now at the forefront of the fight against abortion, and the chance for the passage of the bill this year is high. During the State of the State address on Wednesday of last week, Governor Henry McMaster said that he would sign the bill once it reached his desk. Detractors argue that the bill is unconstitutional based on the ruling made by Roe v. Wade, which legalizes abortions on babies for up to 28 weeks. Other states that have also passed anti-abortion bills are Louisiana, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Idaho. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes the standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, I gotta call my parents. It's their anniversary. Not. This is Wretched Radio, the brilliance of the Bible. One command for children in regard to their parents: honor them into adulthood. When I used to think about this subject, trying to figure out how do you honor your parents, it was basically, well, you know, just, you know, don't diss them. You don't have to do what they tell you to do, but just, you know, be pleasant with them. Uh-uh. Way past that. Honor them. Esteem them. Joyfully do more than call them on their anniversary, because you have to. If I don't send a card, Ma, she always just gets furious, you know. And Dad, well, you know, not like he cares most of the time. I mean, he never talked to me when I was a kid anyway. Honor them. Honor mother and father. Joyfully. I'm telling you, it will bring you joy. It will go well with you. You want to be countercultural. You're a teenager. You want to be countercultural. Honor your parents. And by the way, just bonus for you if you're a teenager. Oh, the power. You have no idea what power you have. You have absolutely no idea. I can tell you from experience in talking to teenagers, young people who love the Lord, who would say, you know, my house is really tough. It's really, really hard. My parents do this, and then they do that. They treat me like this. And look, some of it is downright sinful. And this is not to overlook it. But as part of my counsel to them, I would say, could I encourage you to do something? You think maybe your parents aren't even saved? You think that maybe they're false converts? You think that they're terrible right now? Could I encourage you to become super teenager? Just do what you're told. In fact, do it before you're told. Just watch what happens. And I'm telling you, this has happened multiple times within a week. I can't believe what our house is like. My parents are so nice all of a sudden. You don't say. Look at the power you've got in obeying them and honoring them. Why does that work? Why is that a blessing? Because that's the way God designed it. And any household that does not have children honoring parents, it's not going to be blissful. It can't be, because that's not the way it works. Go ahead. Try to get air conditioning out of a drain pipe. You're not going to get it. Well, you can try. You can blow cold, put some ice cubes in it, and then fan it on the other side. That'll kind of sort of get some stuff. Not going to work. Why? Because that's not what a drain pipe is for. A family is built the way that God designed it. Mom and Dad, teach your kids about Jesus. Don't make them bonkers. Kids, honor your father and mother. And if you operate in those frameworks, it's going to go well. It's going to be nice. It's going to be better. Mom and Dad, this goes for you too, but we're not going to focus on you today. We've beaten up Mom and Dad plenty here. But when you're not harping, annoying, just, you know, helicoptering, making too many decisions for it, the kids actually get better too. There's power in this. Why? Because this is the way it's designed to work. God set it up. The universe operates on God's laws. This is what they are. You do it like this, and it's going to go well. This is why, even in civilizations that aren't Christian, when they stumble into these principles, their families actually do better. They function better. Why? Because that's the way God built the place, whether you are a believer or not. So if you're a teenager and your parents are driving you nuts, I would suggest to you, submit to them and start honoring them lickety-split, and you watch what happens in your home. Tim Challies came up with 6 ways that we can honor our parents into adulthood, and all of them were good. All of them were good. That you assure your parents, they're in their 50s, their 60s, they're fine. They're still healthy. They do their ambulatory. Hey, Mom and Dad, I just want to let you know, when the time comes, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And you're not going to be left alone. Mom, if Dad dies, I got you. Oh. Oh, the honor that that brings to a parent. Tim Challies came up with 6 of those. You can find them at challies.com. I decided to write 6 more. So for your consideration, 6 more ways you can honor your parents as an adult. Don't shun or prohibit unsolicited advice. You are foolish to not consider it and even be grateful for it. Yeah, I'll think about it. Thanks, Dad. Thank you. I'm on this. I'm putting this in there. And you know what? As I think about this, this is going to weigh heavier than my other considerations because it came from you, Dad. Don't shun or prohibit unsolicited advice. I see this, the tiptoe parent. I see it all the time. They can't tell their kids what they think. the adult kids. They can't do it. It will wreck the relationship. The Nook drops to the floor and the kid says to the grandparent who picks it up, "Don't judge us." What? What? What is that? Common. That's what that is. Don't shun it. Don't shun it. Don't prohibit it. Let him keep pouring into your life, even as an adult. We should all be doing this. We're dumb when we do not seek the wisdom of elders. And you've got the best elder with your last name. You've got the best thing for your decision-making process. It's your parents. Number 8, call them for no reason. Not just on anniversaries, and just call them up. You know why I'm calling today, Mom? Because you're my mom. That's why. And I love you. What's up? How are things going? Anything I can do? See, this is not just not being nasty to your parents. Okay, I'll listen to them, but that's all I got to do. I don't even have to take it in. No, honor. This goes further. The word is honor, esteem, to view highly. Okay, let's just say you were making a financial decision and Clark Howard gives you a call. Well, what? Clark Howard, he's the financial guy on the thing and he gives advice about what's smart and what's... Clark Howard call me? He cares about me? Not as much as your parents do. Why don't you give him a call? If you had Clark Howard's number, you might want to... I'll bet you're out buying a washing machine. Hey, what is Clark Howard's... Hey, Google what Clark Howard... Google what's the best thing to buy here. Google your parents. Give him a call. Number 9. Do stuff for them. Why don't you surprise Mom and Dad? Why don't you just go over and mow the lawn? Why don't you trim the edge? Because he can do it. This guy... He can do it. He's fine. Yep, he is. But you'd be honoring him. You'd honor him. You're commanded. I'm commanded to do this. Commanded to do this. Joy. You'll be bringing your parents joy. Now, I get it. There's exceptions. I get that. We're talking about rules here. Do you know every fun thing that you did as a child was courtesy of Mom and Dad? Everything? Everything you did. They paid for every single thing. And they didn't do something perhaps that they wanted to do because they wanted to do it for you because they loved you that much. Do something for them. Help. Don't go over on the holidays to be served. Get up. Sit down, Mom and Dad. You are not getting up. I'm doing these dishes. Sit down. You're the parents here. You're Mom and Dad. We're doing the dishes. We're not going to come storming in and then blast back out because, well, we've got busy lives to lead. Honor your father and mother. Help when you visit. That's number 10. They're not the waitrons. They're your parents. Number 11, your parents aren't your equals. This is a message from the West. Yes, you are. Your parents are exactly on the same. You're an adult. They're adults. You can vote, right? You can drive a car. You can own a gun. For now, you're equals. No, you're not. And the Bible is replete with this, not just with our parents, but with pastors. Treat them like an elder man. How do you treat an elder man? With respect and honor and dignity. They're not equals. They're not pals. They're your parents. It's a different dynamic. And I wonder if this is why it's not working out in your home right now with your current adult children. And if you're an adult child and it's not working out with Mom and Dad, this could be why. They're older. They know more and they want to talk about different stuff. They want to hear your stuff, but they probably would like for you to ask them about their stuff too. They're not equals. They're your elders. Honor them. Number 12. Rather than telling them, hey, here's the rules when we let you watch the kids, here's the rules. You let them instruct your kids. Manners, prayers, Bible stories, how to walk, how to talk, how to think, how to act, all of it. Let them do it. You know why? They're better at it than you currently are. They just are. They see things. You've got a baby, they see something, they know it toot sweet. They know it, they see it with, it's like in their periphery. They're so used to doing this. They see something is off, let them fix it. Let them correct. And you know what blessing you'll get? Those parents will say, you know what, and you've got a good mom and dad, and you need to honor them. And grandparents then should be teaching the grandchildren to honor their parents so that they behave the way that they would like to be treated. Oh, what a brilliant plan God has for the family that follows His three commands. This is Wretched Radio.
Okay, Boomer, it's time for you to take a step back and examine your behavior. So let's take an honest self-assessment here. Are you being a sharent? Okay, you didn't mishear me. I said sharent. Are you being a sharent? What's a sharent, you ask? Well, a sharent is a parent who shares way too much information about their families, especially their kids, on social media. So, are you a sharent? Because listen, you honestly don't have to be. We have a way better way for you to spend your time. You can head on over to Wretched.org and watch full-length episodes of Wretched TV. Listen to the hour-long Wretched podcast and visit the Wretched store for all things Wretched. And while you're spending your time wisely at Wretched.org, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? Because without you, there is no Wretched, and you'll just have to go back to embarrassing your kids on social media. And trust me, nobody wants that. Visit Wretched.org today. That's Wretched.org.
Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. And I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Is an hour of Wretched a day just not enough for you? Can you not get enough of good theology and mediocre comedy? Do you want to see the man behind the voice that you hear on the radio? Well, then head on over to wretched.org/TV and watch hundreds of hours of our Wretched TV. Our 30-minute program is jam-packed full of topics. You'll hear topics ranging from theology to evolution to pneumatology to evangelism and so much more. So, grab some popcorn, find a comfy spot on the couch, and turn on some Wretched TV. And a quick thank you to our gospel partners. Without you, there is no Wretched, so we are eternally grateful. If you want to help support Wretched so we can stay on the air, visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. But don't forget to visit wretched.org/TV for your daily dose of Wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV.
Books of the Bible. 1 and 2 Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls His people to repentance through His prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Think of us like Greyhound. This is Wretched Radio. Just sit back, relax, leave the driving to us. We are going on a road trip to truth. It is our new resource, 13 episodes. It makes a bomb diggity Sunday school or youth group curriculum available at wretched.org/roadtrip. Sit back, relax, and leave the driving to us. John Fabares, whippersnapper, the host of Road Trip to Truth. In this particular episode, dealing with the issue of origins, the guest is Tom Hammond, author of What Time Is Purple.
When it comes to how life began, the most commonly held belief is that we got here through evolution, a process that happened by chance, a chance that's so small and so improbable that it's almost impossible to represent. Evolutionist Sir Fred Hoyle put it like this: the odds of life springing from non-life are 1 in 10 to the 40,000th power. That's 1 divided by 10 with 40,000 zeros. If those were the odds that your favorite team was going to win the Super Bowl, would you bet your life savings? Would you bet your soul? Regardless if you think we have a soul or not, Christianity claims that your soul is on the line. Your immortal soul, the thing inside of you that makes you you. Jesus put it like this: what would it profit a person if they gained the whole world but they lost their soul? Heaven and hell is what awaits. Why would you place your bet on an impossibility? And to that, you might say, what's so impossible about evolution?
Sir Fred Hoyle, he's the guy who coined the term Big Bang. He was the guy who came up with the term Big Bang. He said in a recent address at Caltech that no amount of time now being considered by evolutionists is remotely adequate to accomplish the formation of a higher living organism by chance. Such an event would be comparable to the chance of a tornado sweeping through a junkyard and assembling a fully functional Boeing 747. Possible or impossible based on the odds?
I think that has a lot of moving parts to it.
It seems to have been what has occurred.
I don't know if I agree with him saying that nothing could have done that in that time frame.
Okay. We are asking kids to believe what is impossible. And frankly, what is irrational? Is it any wonder our kids are so hopeless and helpless and confused? Seriously, we just... It is like we've taken the most ridiculous ideas, forget critical theory for a moment, evolution, and we have hooked it up to their faces, and we just pump in bilge, and we expect them to live happy, fruitful lives when it doesn't even make sense. Well, it was told to me, and they seem, you know, they do have, they're tenured, so they must know something. It makes absolutely no sense, but yeah, I think I'll just go with that. Well, that's going to give life a whole lot of purpose.
Time is always the out for the atheistic worldview when the math doesn't look like it's going to work. The problem with that is it doesn't really matter how much time you want to put in that equation. An impossibility is still an impossibility.
Is it possible that right now you are believing in an impossibility?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is possible to believe in an impossibility.
It's definitely possible.
Does that concern you at all?
I've grown used to it.
I try like not to think about these things too much.
But can more time make it possible?
No. We have all sorts of examples of what we call irreducible complexity. Things are interdependent on one another to function. So you can take a pair of glasses and you can argue, well, to be a functional pair of glasses, which had to come first, the frame or the lenses? Well, without either component, you don't have a pair of glasses. You know, you've got a frame here with nothing to look through. It's not improving anyone's vision. Even if you want to use inanimate objects as examples of irreducible complexity, what makes inanimate, non-thinking matter decide to do something that's beneficial, that has value? If inanimate material doesn't have a reason to come together, it's never going to do it on its own. A mind had to be involved.
Well, no meeting was called by the pond scum. So, my fellow scum, I know you don't have ears and I can't communicate, but this is what I'm thinking. I know you don't have brains and neither do I, but let's just work with this. Ultimately, what we want to be is people. I see some hands are being raised already, despite the fact that you don't have hands. Yes, you, it's Peter Poundscum. Yes, Peter. Uh-huh. Well, a lot of time. Lots. And what will be the mechanism, Sally Poundscum? Well, more time. Because, okay, hold on. Too many hands here. I know that time doesn't have power. I get that. Believe me, it's just going to happen at some point. Here, let me just show you on my cell phone here. We're going to look like this eventually. That is a parody that basically explains the reality of how people teach what is evolution. It is utter... Here's the tricky part. I get it. Really smart people adhere to it. I get that. I understand it. But the theory itself, you can make it sound really, really scientific, but the reality is it is anything but. It is mere speculation of the impossible. It becomes increasingly impossible the more time you spend with it. So what do you need more time? Just keep adding it and adding it and adding it and adding it. Now, as tragic as that is, it's the kids that just crush me. Well, I guess I'm kind of getting used to it. And that's what we're doing to our kids. Just believe it. We are the authoritarian people with patches on our elbows teaching in the university. We know what we're saying here. And yes, we know it makes absolutely no sense. Just believe it and go with it and be happy. And they are not. Road trip to truth. It is confronting all of that in a way. You can tell this isn't jerky. Being very respectful, and they are being very thoughtful in confronting the idea of origins. This happens to be episode 5. There are 13 episodes. You can get the whole shebang at wretched.org/roadtrip. And by the way, if you're one of the networks that's playing it, thank you very much. I think right now there's 130 networks and stations that are committed to playing Road Trip to Truth. Thank you.
So how do you even know this line right here is crooked? Well, you know it's crooked because you've seen a straight line before. There's some kind of standard that you could compare this to. And it's the same thing with beauty. If there's no universal standard of beauty, we'd never be able to recognize anything as beautiful. But we do recognize beauty. And there is a standard of beauty. And that standard is God.
I gotta tell you, I love this argument. This is a actual powerful argument. I think some of the old school philosophers, they've used this argument. I don't know if Aquinas did, but it's they used a highfalutin term for beauty, order, organization, symmetry. This is why architecture used to be beautiful, and it's not all It was like, oh, this just feels, yes. Oh, that, yes, it all makes sense. What is architecture today? It doesn't make sense. Doesn't look like that shit. That's not the way we should have done it. Ha ha, see what we did? It represents a worldview.
I think most people agree that some things are beautiful while others aren't.
Because I think they might view beauty only from the sense of what they see.
I think that there's visual beauty then, and that's objective.
No, I don't think that's objective.
Yeah, in the eye of the beholder.
He said that the value, the beauty value of all of these things was the same, but they value personally certain things over others.
Yeah, and if I make calendars or postcards for a living, we're going to have a committee that decides which ones we're going to produce and put out on a rack for people to buy. We're going to put mountain scenes. We're not going to put garbage dumps because we know that there's commonality, that there's an objectivity to being able to predict what human beings are going to call beautiful. So we have to explain where that commonality comes from. And the best answer to that, the commonality comes from a common source or a common creator.
Mm-hmm. The argument from beauty points to an objective standard of beauty, God himself. I believe it was yesterday here on Wretched Radio was reading. It was anonymous because she would get fired if it were revealed that this women's studies doctor teaching in a university disagreed with critical theory. One of her recommendations for how do we help students these days think through issues differently and challenge critical theory? She said, we need to get back to building campus buildings that are beautiful again, that aren't this disjointed modern architecture, so that the kids will maybe sit there and look around and go, you know, this is really just so pleasant and so pleasing to the eye, and not this sharp and disjointed and this unpredictable nature of architecture that we see in so much of modern architecture, to help them realize that there are things that are just plain beautiful. Now, I would go a step further, not just to challenge critical theory, but to prove God exists. Otherwise, no building would be more beautiful than other. No song would be more pleasing than others. Sure, we can have preferences for what we like, but there's still, you don't listen to somebody playing a hammer and saw. You don't buy that CD. You can buy different genres of music, but you don't buy bang, 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 bang. Why? because there's a standard of beauty, and if there were not so, we wouldn't even have preferences at all. But there is, and it is God. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.